Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
How's it going?
It's going all right. It's a sunny day here.
Oh, nice. Must be nice.
Weather talk.
I do love the weather talk. Just been windy and foggy and cold here for like the last 80, week and a half.
87 degrees.
Yeah, it's late May. I would like it to be warm. We've had 2 days break 70 degrees the last week. Yeah, it's cold and yep. And foggy and windy and awful, and I hate everything.
So things are good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Sure. I got my heater on. I'm wearing my sweatshirt. I got my hands in my hoodie pockets because they're a little chilly.
Wearing a t-shirt because it's
Memorial Day weekend,
really,
so bundle up.
Yeah.
Yeah, although it is true that my town has a Memorial Day parade. Most of my memories of that parade are that it's freezing. So I guess that's, you know, it happens. But this has been unusual. So I'm on the inside, staying on the inside here. Went and saw a movie this morning.
So, yes. So I heard.
No spoilers.
That's good. I get it. I saw a movie last night. But
spoiler
no spoilers.
About what movies I see. I'm not going to reveal what movies I see. But I did see a movie. I went by myself, though.
Yeah.
Because I have movie pass. And because, you know, my family was doing, you know, school and work and things. And I went to see a movie. So I had to see it solo, but that's okay. It's fine.
That's fine. I've done some solo movie watching.
Yeah, it happens. It's fine.
It does.
I was laughing while reading your Six Colors piece about the eavesdropping echo thing. Mm-hmm. That story, which is a funny story where somebody's like, it listens to you and emails your conversations to other people. I'm like, yeah.
Close.
As soon as I heard that, I was like, so what happened is it accidentally triggered and thought that you were sending a voice message to someone. And as you pointed out, and accidentally, while you were talking in another room, perhaps, or just not hearing it, it thought you said yes when it was done. And, all you know, a whole series of dumb things that had to happen for it to happen. And it sent it. And, like, that is a failure and is dumb. And that I think the whole send a message to other people's echoes is a dumb feature anyway. You should be easy to turn it off, and it's not. You have to call them. All of these things are true. But I laugh because you made the point at the end that this is also a case. The last thing I want to do in a week where Elon Musk is saying spectacularly stupid things about journalism, but, you know, one reason that billionaires get people to listen to them talking about terrible things about journalism is that there are some people in journalism who do stupid things, and it makes people angry. And this is one of those things where it's like, we got a story here. We can whip up a frenzy about Amazon spying on you.
Right. And of course, it came from a local news.
Of course it did.
Which is, you know, it's local news. We all know, you know, this common thing in your house could kill you.
It's not even local news. It's TV local
TV local
news.
Sorry. Yes. Tune in at 11 to find out which of your children is doing crack. It's yours. It's your kids.
Yeah, basically.
Well, I mean, and the best comparison I came up to, I was talking to a friend on Twitter about this, and I think the best comparison I came to was, like, it's a little bit like if your cat walked over your keyboard and hit just the right commands to erase your hard drive. The chances of that happening are fairly unlikely, but not impossible. And so if this were a thing that were happening left and right, you know, I would agree, like, it seems a little weird, and there's definitely, you know, some stuff that Amazon should fix. And that's clearly the case anyways. There's clearly stuff they should refine and tweak. But at the same time, this is a computer system with a form of input that is susceptible to mishearing things, because, I mean, we're people. We're susceptible to mishearing things. Computers are susceptible to misunderstanding things, or to input that is garbage but happens to actually, you know, contain worthwhile. That's essentially what security vulnerabilities are predicated upon to a certain extent. So, you know, it's both a thing that means they should do a better job, but also not a thing to panic about.
As our friend Stephen Hackett found out when he posted the video of the weird noise his iPhone was making, there are plenty of people out there who will look for a story about any tech giant, especially Apple, but any tech giant, and write a breathless piece about how it's the end of the world. And, you know, I get every now and then I get corralled into something where people are like, oh, why aren't you going to write about this? And it's a big deal. And there's a petition and there's going to be a class action lawsuit and all those things. It's like, you know what? When you make as many products as Apple makes, some of them are going to break. And, you know, first off, that's why they have warranties. And second, if there's a problem that goes beyond that, presumably there will be, and it's a large problem, there will be a class action lawsuit, or there'll be a recall, or they'll have some sort of extended warranty program. And but it ends up in this situation where it's like, this is outrageous that people are complaining on the internet about this thing, and it's like 5 people complain, or even like 100 people complain, and people think there's a huge rash of these things. And you look at the total percentage of these products that are sold, and it's like, you know, they're going to be lemons. This is what I keep telling people is, you make as many products. I mean, they're always going to be lemons. If you mass produce anything, you're going to make lemons. And you make as many iPhones as Apple makes. Yeah, they're going to be lemons. They're going to be thousands of lemons.
That's the thing.
You
right?
take like it back and they give you one that is not a lemon. That's how that works.
When you're dealing with exactly what you're saying, when you're dealing with scale, then a problem that is a 1 in a million problem for Apple, which is selling 50 million iPhones, give or take a quarter, that means, you know, there's going to be 50 problems that are 1 in a million
every
problems.
Every 1 in a million problem has 50 people who are angry about it.
Right. Yeah.
And there more probably is more than one. So this week, I will not mention any of the names to protect the innocent, but I got a couple of questions from people about the PR battering that Apple took this week. And I thought, that's weird. I don't recall a PR battering that Apple took this week. What is it about? And it turns out it's about 3 things. It's about there was a story on a motherboard on Vice about a court disclosure that said that
bending.
Apple was aware, but this is the thing, is all the stories are saying, well, iPhone 6 could bend. Bendgate was right. It's like, that's actually not what the story is. The story is about that, the touch thing, the bad touch.
Oh, yeah, the touch dead.
That Apple figured out that it could bend, but they weren't talking about Bendgate. They were talking about having this issue where it would get distorted and there would be the bad touches and all that. And there was a in court documents that came out that they were aware that that could be an issue and that they fixed it. And it's like, okay, that's, I mean, first off, it's like several years ago and it's a little esoteric and it's a known problem. It's a known issue. And if I'm somebody who had a bad phone and Apple didn't fix it, I would be angry about that. And so there's sort of a story there, but it's like, is that a PR hit really I don't know. I'm skeptical. There's Apple approving and then disapproving the Steam Link iOS app, which is, you know, I thought that the App Store rejection cancellation reversal stuff was over, and it certainly has happened a lot less, but hey, suffice it to say, anytime anything like that happens, people will jump on it because it's a free story to write. So, okay, it's kind of interesting. I kind of see how it's a thorny problem. I hoped that they were past it, but they're not. So, okay. And then the last one was basically some people on Reddit and in the Apple discussion forums complained that their iPhone camera lens cracked.
Ah, yes.
Crackgate. Or something. And literally, again, I'm not going to name any names, but there's a story that basically is like one user complained that he noticed a crack. Another user wrote from Malaysia that his camera lens is cracked. Another from Hawaii wrote that he never dropped his phone, but there was a small crack. Like, I don't think these people are lying, but I think when you, again, burrow down to these level of anecdotes, it's like, you know,
at that point, that's only a PR hit because you've made it a PR hit.
Yeah, well, I mean, and the truth is that people are looking in Reddit threads and on Apple's discussion forums to find anything that's a complaint about Apple that 3 people agree with. And then there's a story there, right? And I'm not saying these people, again, I'm not saying these people don't have issues here, but is this really much of a story? Like, this is what I keep coming back to, is if it affects 5% of people, if it affects a huge amount of the people, it's absolutely a story. But you know, when there's a handful of people who have an issue, we don't know if it affects a handful of people or not. We don't know how big an issue of it is. And there's the other question of like, did you take it to Apple and did they address it? And if they didn't address it, which is some of these questions are like people where Apple is refusing to do it because they say they dropped their phone, but they're like, no, I didn't. Like, I guess there's something to investigate there. But again, if it's three people, like, is that a PR hit that a handful of people, that 10 people even on a Reddit thread somewhere have a complaint, especially if you then pick it apart and realize that, you know, these people don't have the same complaint and these people drop their phones and then, oh, it turns out it's actually only four people. Again, I'm not saying that there aren't potentially issues here, but I do see an awful lot of like, all right, let me at them. Let's warm up the machine. And then to the point where I start to get queries from people who are like, wow, Apple had a really tough PR week. What does this mean? Is Apple's quality falling apart? Is this the destruction of Apple's brand? I'm like, are you serious?
Well, I mean, as we were just talking about a second ago with the issues of scale, in some ways it's more surprising if there isn't some problem, even if it, I mean, affecting a small number of people, right? Because like you said, there's going to be some lemons, so sooner or later there's going to be some problem, right? It's just a question of how widespread it is. And the tendency in many cases, especially for people who are looking to write stories on that, is, you know, let me find three people or, you know, let me turn anecdotes into data, which is not how that works. So, you know, we've also had the whole ongoing thing with the MacBook keyboards, for example. And it certainly seems widespread-ish, but it's really hard to tell because the only people who have actual numbers about this are Apple, and they're not going to tell you. I mean, even in the worst-case scenario where they admit that there is some problem, they're only ever going to say it affected a small number of keyboards, and we're fixing them, right? Like, that's basically what it's going to come down to.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to tell from the outside whether or not that's like a widespread, serious flaw.
The bad touch thing was the story on Motherboard was like, Apple has never publicly admitted that this was an issue. It's like, except it was reported heavily and everybody pretty much figured it was an issue and that were apparently people getting their phones replaced and or fixed or whatever. And like, yes, but it's true. Yeah, you got them. Now you've got some public disclosure that they realized there was an issue, and then you wrote a story about it, connecting it to Bendgate when it was kind of more about the bad touch issue, but whatever. Like, again, yeah, okay, I guess. It's just, yeah, the drama around it is just kind of amazes me. But this is, if you ever wonder why Apple acts as squirrely as it does sometimes when dealing with the press especially, this is why. This is why. It's not because reasonable people are asking reasonable questions. It's because they know that there's an avalanche of other stuff going on out there. And unfortunately, I'm not saying that they're justified in that, because bad behavior is bad behavior, but I get why their screens are up. I get why their shields are up, because there is a lot of stuff out there that's just like, you know, what I've talked to Apple PR people where they're like, I can't say anything about this because we know what will happen. Like, yeah, we do. And it's too bad. It's too bad. That said, I think Elon Musk is a butthead. So there, there's that. He's a very talented guy with a lot of things going on. He should really, you know, well, first off, I think he actually fears for the, I said this on Download yesterday. I think he actually legitimately fears for the success of Tesla, which is not, you know, doesn't have it made in the shade. They're kind of on a razor's edge. And I think, you hit him when you live where he lives, when you hit him in the factory, because if they can't get that factory putting out Model 3s, that company is going to go out of business. And right. Then they report about labor problems and injured workers in the factory. Like, that really hurts him. But it's interesting. So I get it. But it's also interesting that his response is basically lies. Everybody's a liar. And journalism, we should fix journalism. And also, by the way, cars that have braking problems are also maybe important for safety reasons, and that's also an issue. And
people wonder why Apple doesn't want to get into the car business necessarily. I think that's a big part of it. Well, I honestly do. I was thinking about that a lot this week, be it with the whole story about these self-driving vans and how, you know, the Times reported this as, you know, the Apple has slowly narrowed its its efforts with cars. It's always, again, it's always hard to tell exactly what that means because it's so secretive, but clearly their scope has changed over time. And I was a person who always felt a little skeptical that Apple was going to get into the wholesale, we are going to build cars business, right? Because as Elon Musk has shown with Tesla, it's really hard to get into that business, especially when you don't have any grounding in it whatsoever. Right.
Right? Like, we're going to just out invent them on every single thing that they have done for 100 years. We're going to out invent them on all those things. And, you know, the Tesla has gotten where it is amazing because it is extremely hard. And I understand why Apple would back away from that, which they did. And then they tried to find partners and that's apparently been hard. And that story is also kind of a damp squib too, because it's like they're working with Volkswagen on a van that they're going to test. It's unclear if it will be anything more than that. Okay, that's a little less exciting. Anyway, I know there are so many Elon Musk fans out there that I will say, like, I say he's a big butthead. It's like he's his own worst enemy. He needs to learn when to stop talking. He needs to learn to restrain himself, and he just doesn't do it. And it frustrates me because, as Steven and I talk about on Liftoff all the time, like, he's got so much going on, and yet he comes out and makes these bizarre pronouncements that everybody knows are not true. Like, we're going to be in Mars in 4 years. We're going to go to Mars in 2 years. We're going to go to Mars in 4 years. Like, it's not going to happen, dude. Everybody knows it. The moment it comes out of your mouth, everybody knows that you're turning into the boy who cried wolf, which is bad. And like, you don't need to do this. You could be a little more restrained, still talk about your big ambitions without making these statements that you can't back up, because especially with SpaceX, it's just a history. It's not like SpaceX hasn't done amazing things, but like, they're all, instead, in the end, they're all kind of too late, or at least they're late. Because he's overpromised. And it's like, dude, don't overpromise and underdeliver every single time. It'll make people think that you're an underdeliverer. Like, be a little more realistic. And with the stuff this week with Tesla, it's the same thing. It's like, you could probably talk a little bit less. Do some damage control, sure. If you believe that these reports are fake, you should probably come up with the facts. I've seen him do this in the past and say, well, we actually did this and we don't think that. He is his own worst enemy, where he's like, oh, well, you know, journalism is, it's like he gets so much free press, and yet the people who come to his events and report on him and all that, they're the enemy. I think they're also his marketing plan. So it's just like, back off a little bit, but he can't help himself.
Well, he's got the worst aspects of the Silicon Valley CEO, where it's like, oh, everything we do is going to change the world. But he has delivered on some things compared to a lot of people in the Valley who have not. But that said, I think you're totally right. Honestly, you know, I look at examples of people that you should be patterning yourself after in that department, and I feel like Tim Cook's not a bad one, because Tim Cook doesn't say anything,
you know,
that he is not 100% sure about.
Elon Musk would be served as dialing it back. He'd be served by dialing it back to Steve Jobs, right? He's way out past Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, not the most disciplined guy in the world when it came to shooting off, but he had some, right? Like, he didn't go full off most of the time. And Elon Musk
reeled
is like,
it in later years a bit, too.
Exactly. But Elon Musk it just isn't there. I also think that this is I don't know what the deal is with that guy. This is not the Elon Musk podcast, but I wonder about that guy, because it's like, you don't need to be digging tunnels, and you don't need to be, you know, there's so many different markets that he talks about being in. It's like, dude, you got enough going on right now. You might want to change the world in a few places instead of trying to change it in all the places, because it's possible you'll end up changing the world in none of the places, and nobody wants that. Like, at least he left the Hyperloop off on the side and said other people can develop a Hyperloop. I'm not going to do that.
Ford too is inevitable creation of robots that go rogue and force us to summon a team of superheroes.
It's frustrating because they do a lot of exciting things, and then he's like that. But it did. Yes, I did think about Steve Jobs, and I thought about Tim Cook, who, you know, Tim Cook's boring, but like, that's the idea.
Right.
He's just totally locked
down.
That's
what he does. But yeah, exactly. I mean, boring is not necessarily a drawback in the space that he's in.
If I'm Apple, and I know that everybody out there is going to write about every single little pronouncement I make, and every time that, you know, and they're looking in my garbage. Can you imagine what goes on with Apple's garbage now? Do they like incinerate, or do they mulch their all the you know, paper that comes out of Apple Park? I wonder, because it used to be people would actually like fish around in dumpsters in Cupertino for Apple stuff, and now they do
it goes into metaphorically. All the land in the middle there, all their park.
Oh yeah, the hole. It turns out it's not a park; it's just a hole in the middle. And
well,
it's
or
just,
yeah, like you said, it's organic. It. Maybe they're just recycling it or composting it or turning it into mulch. Like,
did I lose you?
No, I'm still here.
Everybody, I lost Hello? Dan.
What?
I don't know here. What happened to him.
I didn't go anywhere. I'm right here. Oh, this is going to be great in the recording. The recording's going to love this.
Yeah. Now you're back. Oh, hey. Hey, Dan.
I could hear you that whole time. I don't know what happened. The recording is going to be great for all our listeners who are going to suddenly hear us talking to each other like,
no, we're going to leave that in. That's awesome. That, people, it's like my washing machine. That's what using Skype is like here in 2018. That's what it's like.
Yet somebody else told me I should switch to Discord. Not told me I should, but said that a lot of their other podcasts had switched to Discord. I'll put it that way.
I'm a little tired of the Discord. Discord's okay, although the problem is, first off, it's made for gaming. It's not made for podcasting. Yep. And it is. And the number one reason I hear where people like Discord is it sounds better. And it's like, dude, how it sounds totally doesn't matter.
Well, if you're double ending, it does not matter at all.
Exactly right. Also, Skype does a lot of processing. I'm skeptical. I've used Discord a little bit. I'm skeptical about how much processing it does. It seems to be more in line with like Cast and Zencastr and things like that, where they're not doing a lot of work on the server to massage it, but they may be doing more than Cast and Zencastr, where after you get a few people on there, it just kind of breaks down, because it's made for low latency and for gaming. So
yeah, I've used it for one of the online D&D groups I'm in. We use Discord, and it's fine. It's hard to tell sometimes what are Discord failings and what are the fact that nobody in that group is like a professional podcaster, right? So
sure.
It's like a lot of those people have kind of crappy mics. So it's hard to tell what's a result of that and what's a result of Discord itself.
But I think what I'd say,
fine.
I think what
it's
I'd
fine.
Say is that if we were starting from zero, we probably would pick Discord as the app to try, but everybody's got Skype. And the last thing I need is the added friction of telling every single person I want to talk to in a podcast that they need to download Discord and they need to sign up. They need to do all the things they need to do to get to the point where I can talk to them.
That's a lot of hoop jumping.
And also, you know, as Mac users especially, we have Call Recorder for Skype built in. Whereas I get a Mac user who's using Discord, then it's like, okay, you need to use QuickTime or some other Audio Hijack or some other external thing. There is a bot that will record Discord, but it doesn't record locally. It just is capturing the individual streams, which is, it's actually a cool idea. That's almost enough to make me switch to Discord, because it gives me an individual audio backup of everybody's voices. But we might get there. It's possible.
We'll see how Skype goes. They keep trying to upgrade our experience, who knows?
Skype says that this summer they're coming out with a thing that is similar, where you can record all the different streams, which would be fantastic, and get the audio streams to get a backup of everybody's audio recordings. But I don't know. Anyway, I installed Discord and I'm kind of open to it, but the thing that makes me down on it is that people, I've had some people who, like, they over pitch it to me. They're like, oh, but it sounds so good, and like, I don't care. Oh, but it's a replacement for Slack. Slack is fine. It's fine. But it's once again an example too of a tool built for something else that then is like, podcasters are like, oh, we'll try this tool that's not appropriate for us, because there are not enough podcasters to make tools appropriate for us. So we have to use the inappropriate ones. Skype is still here. It's still present. Don't love it. Still present.
It's you know, it's like democracy. It's the it's the worst form of VoIP other than everything else.
Skype is like democracy. But yeah, it's true. It's true. I do a podcast every week on Cast in a browser, and it's fine. You know, it's fine. So
that stuff has gotten pretty close to being ready for prime time. It's always like, it's at that asymptotic thing where it's like pretty good for most things, but it's just needs a little more percent.
In that case, it's one person and I can send them a link and it goes in the browser and all of that. My hesitation with even trying Discord is it's going to be like, okay, I've got five people on a podcast. Does everybody have it? You know, does everybody have a recording mechanism? And it just becomes one of those things. So I'm like, you know, Skype is here. Everybody's got it.
Well, at some point, if Slack ever, like, you know, loosens up on its call restrictions, you could just do it there. Same recording problem, but everybody's there.
Yeah, it's just that's going to always be a premium thing where it costs too much money for what it provides. the facts.
We'll just all, we'll all go to the same place and record.
I'll just call you on the phone. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Conference call lines. Good
all times. Right. Well, I gotta get back to doing my laundry, and who knows, this conversation may just disappear on a moment's notice again, like it just did. But anyway, so my apologies to those people who love Elon Musk and wish to worship him like a god, because I called him a butthead, but you know, I do it with love. I do it with respect. He needs to stop being his own worst enemy. And for people who are very incensed, to have a bent iPhone with a cracked screen and a Steam account without an app and are very mad this week, I apologize to you too. It's not you. It's me. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.